Hebrews chapter 13 here tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. I don't know how many we were going to have here. I couldn't remember who all said we're heading out of town, so it's good to have each one of you here tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. I want to focus on verse 15, but I want for us to see the context here. So we talk about an offering of thanksgiving or sacrifice of thanksgiving. Notice it says here, Hebrews 13, verse 10, we have an altar. And this is not a physical altar, as we're going to see in this context. It is a person. The altar is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. So here we see the end of the contrast between the earthly tabernacle that was still in place at this point and the spiritual tabernacle, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary of the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. There's why I say the altar is not a place, it is a person. In fact, I want you to consider there's not one thing in the New Testament that says that there is a place like we see in the Old Testament temple and all that, as far as the place where God was worshipped and all that. It is a person. The focus is a person in the New Testament, amongst the New Testament churches. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. All right, so we see here this contrast again, as we've seen off and on over the last several months. Earthly Jerusalem is contrasted with the new Jerusalem, where we seek one to come. Notice the verse here that we're focusing on. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But again, I want for us to pay attention to the words here. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. All right, so constantly, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So again, we're focusing on this idea of an offering or a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, we first see this concept in Leviticus chapter 7. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to mention it here. But an offering of sacrifice of thanksgiving is related to the peace offerings in Leviticus 7. Also in Scripture, they're sometimes referred to as the thank offerings. Now, notice, listen carefully to this verse in Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, 29 says, "And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." There's not one of us who can be said, "Be thankful. You need to give thanks." It's offered freely of our own will. It's voluntary. Again, listen to the wording there. It says, "When ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." God does not want us to offer thanksgiving out of duty. He wants us to do it from our hearts. Notice with me Psalm 107. Psalm 107, another statement here as far as the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Psalm 107. I want to notice a little bit of the context here. Psalm 107, verse 1. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, as we go through this psalm, there's a verse that is emphasized, and I think it's three or four times, but I want you to consider that every time it's mentioned, they talk about trouble and distresses and trials. In fact, it says in verse 6, "When they cried unto the Lord in their trouble," and notice, "he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Here's one of the times that this verse is repeated. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." I'll talk about this as far as good circumstances, easy circumstances, and so on. That's not the time that we are actually offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want for us to see that here tonight. Notice it says in verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Notice, hungry. The hungry soul is going to be satisfied or filled. The longing soul, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Notice again the trials and the challenges, the difficulties of life in this context. because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness, and so on. Verse 15, here's the second time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 17, talks about fools here because of their transgression, because of their iniquities are afflicted. So here's the self-inflicted trials that we bring upon our lives. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Notice the third time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, notice here, verse 22. Here's our statement. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. But again, that's tied right back on this statement. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Throughout this psalm, we see trials and troubles and difficulties, distresses, trouble. It says here in let's start with verse 23 because it gives us the entire context leading into this next time we see this. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. All right, can you feel like you're getting a little seasick here? Going up and down, up and down. Notice again it says, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro. They're staggering like a drunken man. And they're at their wit's end. That doesn't mean they're drunk. They're trying to stand on the ship as it's going all over the place. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. It's a calm finally. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. But again, you notice in verse 22, before we move from here, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. The sacrifices of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, verse 17 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice with me Jonah also. This is a phrase that has grabbed my attention here off and on here in recent weeks. Jonah chapter 2, and of course, chapter 1, we're very familiar. He's trying to run from the Lord, and of course, you can't run from the Lord. God's already there, so, you know, he already had a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Is the whale a mammal or is it a fish? A fish. Amen. It is not a mammal. Evolution says it's a mammal. It is a fish. The Bible itself says it's a great fish. And Jesus called that great fish a whale. So a whale is a fish, according to the Bible. Let's believe the Bible and not these fake scientists here. Then Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Now, again, this is self-inflicted affliction. Unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. He's dealing with seaweed that's in the whale's belly there. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. All right, so here we go, getting a little seasick again. This whale is going up and down in the water. Notice the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Notice verse 9, here's our verse. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Of course, then the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And that's probably how he appeared to the people of Nineveh. As he's saying, yeah, 40 days, and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. Probably looked a little like seaweed and bleached and all that kind of stuff. It's very interesting, Psalm 50. In fact, let's notice that. Psalm 50, again, I'm looking at this sacrifice of thanksgiving. I think so many times we just say words, and we don't actually think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving that the Bible so often emphasizes. Now, I want you to take notice of something here in Psalm 50. Verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee, I am God, even thy God. And notice this, he says, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. Notice they were supposed to continually offer these sacrifices and these burnt offerings, but they did not. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Can you hear the song? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. It's all his, he says. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Notice this in verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. He says, I'm not going to reprove thee for all these burnt offerings and sacrifices that you were supposed to offer. But he says, I want you to offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. But again, you notice here in verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, this offering, this sacrifice of thanksgiving. I think so many times we fall into this routine and this trap here as far as worship, as we commonly call it. We sing hymns. So did you mean the words that you sang a moment ago? Was it truly worship? Well, yeah, I mean, so many times we sing a hymn and we don't really think about what we're singing. That's supposed to be worship to the Lord. Saying prayers. I know we don't say, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. But we might as well say those words because in many cases, did we pray? It doesn't mean anything to us. Attending a worship service. It all becomes routine so many times. Many times we simply go through the motions of routine, the routine of our Christianity. But let me ask you, are we truly offering anything to the Lord? Or are we just going through the motions? Do we ever make a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord? Now, Romans 12:1, of course, talks about us presenting our bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. But I want you to think about this. An offering or sacrifice of thanksgiving is not just saying words. An offering or a sacrifice of thanksgiving is not just saying words. Here's why I say that. A sacrifice implies it costs us something. A sacrifice will cost us something. You think about the Old Testament Jews. They were not supposed to bring the worst of what they had. They were supposed to bring the perfect lamb, the perfect bullock. They were supposed to bring the best to the Lord. It cost them something. In fact, there's references even in the Old Testament where say if you take consideration whether or not you go back on what you promised to the Lord, you're going to not only do the one that you promised, but you're also going to add to it. Here again, what I'm talking about is it's going to cost us something. Notice an example of this in 2 Samuel 24. Now, the context of this, just for the sake of time, let me mention this. The context is, of course, when David has numbered Israel, but he makes a statement about an offering or a sacrifice that I want for us to apply here tonight. 2 Samuel 24, verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah, notice, looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah, notice, went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen, notice plural, oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. Notice he was willing to offer his best for this offering. And let me just point out here, the threshing floor, from what I understand in biblical culture, the threshing floor was a valuable piece of property. It's one of the best pieces of property that you would have on a particular piece of land. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. I love that statement. As a king, notice he gave unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Notice he's offering everything to King David here. David says, no. I am going to buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God that of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Notice, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now, I want you to consider that this is another study for another time, but this is the same place as Mount Moriah and the temple and all that. So it's very important for us to see that as far as scriptural context. But again, we see here that David says, I am not going to offer anything that costs me nothing. Now, I want you to think about the context of these references here to a sacrifice of thanksgiving, an offering. The context, in many cases, is finding reasons to be thankful in difficult trials. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's the sacrifice of thanksgiving concept. It's going to cost me something. It's not something that's easy. And let me make this statement before we look at the example of Job here. It does not cost us anything to give thanks when everything is going great. Think about that. In fact, in most cases, it's going so well, we forget to say thank you, Lord. Job 1. I want you to see this. Very familiar story, but I want you to see this concept here. The way that the sacrifice of thanksgiving in many cases, costs us something is because it's given in a time of trial, in a time of difficulty, even as we saw in Psalm 107. Job, and let me just summarize, let me remind you, the verses before what we read, he's lost everything. Everything that he and his wife owned. Okay, you imagine that. Everything that you have right now, just like that, somebody comes to tell you, your house just burned down. Your business is gone. Everything is gone. Not only that, but while they're still speaking, while they're still standing there telling you this, your 10 children just died. How would you respond? I already know pretty much how I would respond. How would you respond in this kind of context? I believe that God gives us this example because, all right, so if you have that extreme, surely we can find reasons to thank God. Because you notice verse 20. Then Job arose. Not one of us can say we've suffered as much as Job. Every once in a while, I humorously think of a situation back in the mid-90s. Life was not going very well. My wife's health was not right, and we had different things going on, and we had just moved into a new apartment complex. My wife called me at work and said, the entire closet system collapsed. I told my boss, I said, I need to go and help my wife with something here real quick, and I'll be right back. I was on salary, so I trust me, I worked plenty of hours to make up that. But his first question was, so what's your point, Job? I'm thinking, I mean, it's like trial after trial after trial. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and, notice, worshiped. Just after he's received all this news, I mean, he's on his face worshiping. That's not our normal response, right? And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. I'm thankful for what he's given. I've enjoyed it. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Notice he's offering thanksgiving after what he's just heard and experienced. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, I want to emphasize before we move from this point, it does not cost us anything to give thanks when everything is going great. We have money in the bank. I don't have one problem. I wish I could say that, but it gives us the opportunity to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always, and here's the part we struggle with, for all things, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me Acts 16. Again, another example here. Acts chapter 16. And with this context, I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says, you know, I most gladly, I glory in my infirmities. I'm thankful for my problems. I don't care about all my blessings. I'm thankful for my problems. I've not arrived at that level of Christianity yet. Acts 16, notice verse 19. And one of our masters, of course, this is after Paul's grieved, he says in verse 18, in the name of Christ, come out of her. And this evil spirit came out of this young woman. Immediately she lost, her masters, I should say, lost their way of income by way of her. They're using her for gain. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, I tell you, that's pretty low when you're using somebody for your own financial purposes. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, by the way, illegally. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and, notice, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They're not singing, you know, what's that old hee-haw song? It's like, gloom, despair, and agony. Oh! That's not what they're singing. Notice, they sang praises unto God. That was back in the carnal days of our family, allowed us to watch hee-haw. Every once in a while, that song comes back and haunts me. And the prisoners, notice, heard them. But they're singing and giving praise to God while they're chained and they're bleeding. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. When the trials come in our lives, that's our best opportunity to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. Notice verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, talking about our faith and salvation, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. It's not going to be forever. For a season, if need be. You're in heaviness. That's not saying trials are not heavy. Heaviness through manifold, various temptations or trials. Notice the purpose here, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That there is the purpose of our trials, the trials of our faith, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, a couple other passages. Notice Romans chapter 5. Again, I'm showing you how many times this concept, James 1, I almost had us look at that here tonight, but I wasn't sure about the sake of time. James 1 talks about the, rejoicing in the trials that we have in our lives. But notice Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea, the picture here is this peace offering. All right, so again, the sacrifice of thanksgiving with the peace offering. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation. All right, here's why he's thankful, why he glories in tribulations. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. One other passage I want you to look at, Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 30. All right, so here's the contrast of this. God's not wanting an animal sacrifice and all those kinds of things. As far as the Old Testament concept is, notice it says, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Notice the magnifying him with thanksgiving. That's what is going to please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. All right, so let's bring it down to us today. Oh, we could sacrifice all kinds of money, all kinds of... That's not going to mean as much to God as, notice, magnifying him with thanksgiving. Listen to these words in Hosea 14, verses 1 and 2. These words grab my attention here today. Just listen to them. It says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. All right, so we're talking about somebody that's away from the Lord. Listen to these words then. Take with you words. All right, so Israel was told to return to the Lord God. God says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Here's another statement. Listen carefully. So will we render the calves of our lips. These lips, it's as if we're offering them instead of an ox or a bullock. That's what he told Israel. The sacrifice, offering the fruit of our lips unto God. In fact, what I noticed in those two verses that I just read, forgiveness is not possible until we are thankful. Did you catch that? Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. I have never noticed that statement before. Rendering the calves of our lips. Our two lips should be an offering and a sacrifice with the words that we offer up to the Lord. One of the things tonight I want to emphasize as we go to prayer, I want for us to take time to pray for the new needs here tonight. I on purpose did not print off another list, you know, because I know we try to focus on Thanksgiving here, at least somewhat traditionally here the last several years. But I want to focus tonight as we go to prayer, I want to focus more on saying prayers of thanksgiving, offering sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord here tonight, and not just list. That's why I did not print off a list. There's times when we have to set aside the list mentality. I think too many times that's what we think prayer is. God can read our list. He knows what's on our list. He's wanting to hear the calves of our lips here tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help us, even as we go to prayer here this evening. Yes, yes, there are needs, Lord, that we need to pray about. Father, I pray that you'd help us, even as we go to prayer here this evening, that we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.